You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. This is a special edition, second day of the week, two episodes a week extravaganza deck tech. So we recorded way too much content when the professor was on earlier this week, so we decided to split in the two. So this is the deck tech on Merfolk, his favorite deck, and we're going to break it down for you guys. Hope you guys enjoy. All right, thank you very much.
The deck, Merfolk, your
Merfolk
favorite deck.
Merfolk is a fabulous deck, and I always used to say now it, for the first time ever, and I'm pretty sure I didn't do the most precise research on this, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time that Merfolk has ever won a GP, ever, in Modern. And
in Modern, for sure. In the history of Magic, I can't confirm here or there.
Oh, yes. But in Modern, for sure, right. And one of the things that was always the Merfolk player's dream was to find just the right tweak, because everybody's Merfolk deck is just a little bit different. And that was actually something that Merfolk players, whenever I would meet them, we were all very excited, because unlike other decks where, let's say, Delver, you're fine-tuning it kind of in unison and you're getting just that precise formula, Merfolk was never, prior to now, a Tier 1 deck. And so everybody was trying to find their own path with Merfolk to hit that top tier, to win that GP, and everyone had their own Merfolk flavor. And it was that's what I loved about the deck, was that my Merfolk didn't look exactly the same as the other Merfolk players, but you got a little bit of everything. You got aggro, you got tempo, you got counter spells. You're playing all of Magic in blue. For a long time, it was a great budget deck because it's mono blue. It's all islands nine times out of ten. And so back in the days where every other Modern deck needed fetch lands, which were all outrageously priced, Merfolk was a great viable option.
Yeah, no, I mean, and to kind of break down for our listeners, we did a deck tech on Merfolk. This is one of the first deck techs we ever did, but we realized that since September, Modern has changed so much that it's about time to start kind of coming back once in a while to some of the decks we've already done. Obviously, there are decks we still haven't done, so we're going to mix it up, and once in a while, we're going to redo a deck. I know that you're a big Merfolk player, so I wanted to do the deck for this week, and to kind of explain for people that weren't listening since episode one what Merfolk is. It's based off of the creature type Merfolk. There's, you know, that's a magic creature type. It's one of the main five. It's blue's main creature type. And it's built off of the power of, you know, the fact that there's so many lords for these colors. They're all pretty efficient. They're all very good at getting in with when your opponents have islands, because they all have island walk in some way, or because another one gives it to them. And it's off one of the few decks in the format that really utilizes the power of Aether Vial. Aether Vial has been obviously a legacy staple forever, and Merfolk has played it since the beginning. But because almost every single card is a 2-drop, other than Mirror Reedry as the 3-drop, it allows you to kind of play this cool tap-out game where you're kind of playing the blue deck of countering spells while also just insurmountably putting pressure on them through the entire game.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is that the Merfolk themselves, just by themselves in isolation, are an aggro creature. They're a 2-2 for 2. They lord each other, pumping them up typically +1/+1, giving each other island walk. We've got a functional reprint of Lord of Atlantis in Master of the Pearl Trident. So essentially, you have 8 Lord of Atlantises, which all give other Merfolk +1/+1, and Island Walk, which is beautiful.
Right.
But it's not just aggro. It's also a major tempo deck, and there's so many tempo aspects to it. Cards like
Spreading Seas?
Spreading Seas, which is one of my absolute favorites, especially when you're on the play and your opponent is not in blue in any conceivable
way. Right, because you
and you're just going to island. Let's say they're in black and green, and they drop an overgrown tomb, and then you come back to you, and you drop a Mutavolt or another island, and you spreading seize that. You
are so
get
far
to
ahead.
Draw. You're so far ahead because they also are disabled with that land. That land is colorless mana as far as they're concerned, which is useless for early game stuff. And you get to draw a card, so you get to skip ahead to what your next turn in terms of card draw would have been.
Plus, every card in your deck is unblockable now.
right.
People I've talked to have said that Spreading Seas might be the best card, or if not one of the best cards in the modern deck.
I agree with that assessment very much so. Silvergill Adept is another one that usually is mainboarded in almost every, if not every, Merfolk modern deck. And that one is one blue and a colorless for a 2/1 Merfolk. You have to reveal a Merfolk from your hand or pay an additional 3. But again, you're going to have other Merfolk in your hand. All you have is Merfolk. And when it hits the ground, you draw a card. And so again, you're getting that beautiful card draw. Gas. And when you look to swarm out with Merfolk, and once it starts going off, especially if you get a Rejury or two in play, and a Rejury or two in play lets you just empty your whole land of every Merfolk that you're holding.
Right.
So if you got a lot of card draw going up to that point, and it's like, okay, I've got, let's say, 2 Rejuries in play now, and I've got 3 or 4 Merfolk in my hand, I can now cast every single one of them, because each time I cast a Merfolk, I get a trigger off the Rejury to untap a target permanent. I'll untap a land. I've got a second Rejury. I untap a second land. I bring in another Merfolk. I get to untap 2 lands, bring in another Merfolk, untap 2 lands, bring in another Merfolk. And you should see the looks on my opponent's faces when that starts happening. And it's like,
right, you have
I just
30
put
power
four,
in play.
Right. Yeah. It's beautiful, beautiful. But at the same time, and this is where it starts to get into fine tuning, you've got counter spells in there, whether it's Spell Pierce or Mana Leak.
Or Remand.
I've seen people. Remand was one I loved for a while, and I only recently took it out. But I loved Remand because, again, tempo.
Right.
You get that card draw.
See,
I really liked it.
Better than Mana Leak in almost all situations.
I agree. I actually have been having, and this is me being a little Merfolk rogue, but I've been having some good luck with Deprive. Deprive is
right.
2 blue. You lose a little bit of tempo with it, but with Merfolk, you've gained so much ground, it's okay. It's a hard counter for 2.
Well, plus your deck is mono 2/3 drops and Aether Vial.
Right.
I mean, like, yes, you have Master of Waves, but if you have Master of Waves, then hold off on the Deprive because you're going to win when you cast it.
Yeah. And again, some people run 4 of Master of Waves. Some people run 2 Master of Waves. It depends on your deck and what your strategy is. But Deprive gives you a hard counter for 2. Return an island to your hand. It can be one of the ones you tap to cast it.
Right.
When your opponent is trying to bring in one of their win cons, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts, you can hard counter that win con. That's where Deprive is one of my favorite cards. It's just called, it's countered. And they always look at it because not a lot of people play Deprive. And it's always like, wait, let me see it. And it's like, I'm looking for the, how much do I need to tap or what do I need to reveal to get around this counter? And it's like, you can't get around
it.
It's counter spell. You know, I love it.
I mean, well, it saw a lot of play, or at least it was definitely in the standard deck list for the Treasure Cruise Delver decks that were out earlier this years slash
last year.
So like, it's obviously a good card. And I wanted to go back also to Master Waves. When Glenn Jones and I did the original deck tech on this, I think Master Waves might be like one of the better 4 drops in the format entirely. It's so good because it dodges all of the red removal, which is most of the removal in the format, and it dodges Abrupt Decay, plus the presence it presents on the battlefield is literally a kill it or you lose situation.
Right.
So, like, that's, like, those are the threat bases for the Merfolk deck. It's crazy how much redundancy this deck has, and how much play it has, the fact that it can just stop your opponent from doing things with cards like Spreading Seas. Like, it does not surprise me that it won the GP recently. So what are some of the cards that you're worried about? What are some of the flaws with Merfolk now that we've talked about how amazing it is?
Merfolk has a lot of trouble when your creatures get removed, because Merfolk needs to build on itself. And one of the things that my regular opponents at my local, because I'm the only guy playing Merfolk, I've actually at my local game store, when I go off to other places, I've sat down across from Merfolk, but just at my local game store, I'm the only guy in there with Merfolk.
Right.
But it's also very well known that even though I own just about every modern deck, I 9 times out of 10 choose to come in for fun on a Saturday afternoon with Merfolk. And so people are well-versed at how to handle it. And how you handle Merfolk is as soon as that first lore drops, you got to just remove it. Spend your lightning bolt on it if you're in Burn or Delver. Unsummon it. Exile it if you're in white and you've got Path. And the problem is that Merfolk by itself do nothing. You've got a Lord of Atlantis on the field. You're not making any threat. It's when you have three,
right,
and they're all 5/5s or what have you, that's when you're making a threat. And so people become very, very aggressive in their removal. That's why Darnation is worrying me in terms of it making a presence, is that that's
right,
going to wipe out my field. I actually like to run three Phantasmal Images in my Merfolk deck because they allow me to copy my Lords of Atlantis. So instead of having 8 Lords of Atlantis, I actually have 11 of them. And it's also a really great option because it stops Tarmogoyf by providing a barrier for Tarmogoyf swing into.
Or even better, sometimes copying a Tassigur, which then gives you like a card draw engine if you need it, if you're running low because they're removing all your threats, or copying a Rhino, which then domes them
never,
for three.
Never mind Tassigur. I love copying their Dark Confidant. Do you know how awesome copy of Bob in a Merfolk deck is? It's like, oh, I lose 2, and I draw something that makes everything +1/+1 again.
Right.
That's great gas.
I mean, in reality, this almost sounds like if Merfolk is going to be as popular as it is, one of the things that's helped you is the fact that people have kind of shied away from stuff like Supreme Verdict, which is definitely one of the cards I know Merfolk has the most trouble with in Legacy.
Yeah, any board wipe is a problem, because then it's also hard to recover from, because you have a really specific curve where...
Right.
Listen, turn one, you're going to ideally be dropping an Aether Vial. If you're running Curse Catchers, I'm one of the freaks that is not a fan of Curse Catcher. Everyone else loves them to death. I'm not a fan of Curse Catcher, but everyone else will have them, and so that's their other turn one drop. Turn two, anything from a Silvergill Adept to one of your lords. Turn three, a Reedry. At that point, you've got your Aether Vial up to 2. You get this force going, and then if by turn 3 or 4 they board wipe, it's very hard to recover from
that.
Because then you're starting all the way back with, and then I play a Lord, and then they can remove that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. And so I'm glad Supreme doesn't really see that much play, as is Day of Judgment, things like that. But if Merfolk starts dominating, or worse yet, Merfolk plus elves plus goblins, each in their own right dominating,
right,
then people are going to say, oh, creatures are back in Modern.
Yeah.
It's no longer the spells format. And people are going to put in heavier removal, larger removal. That's, again, why I think Darnation is going to be so powerful. Maybe even the actual Damnation will see some play, like you mentioned. But that really is Merfolk's problem. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, right now, if you look at the format, there is right now a lot of creature decks. I'd almost want to say, if it wasn't for some of these turn two decks killing people, mainboarding a board wipe isn't the worst option I've heard of from a person, because there are so many decks that it wrecks. Even like Abzan and Jund have problems with board wipes because, you know, you like they start putting creatures in play and then they're going to run into a problem if you get rid of everything. It's definitely a good time to maybe be thinking that direction. Now, I did want to mention, we never talked about it, but Kira Glassbinder is also a deck out of Merfolk that's obviously an important piece, and it helps answer that, you know, one-for-one removal plan that, like, Snapcaster Mage decks kind of want to go about trying to get rid of your deck and what it's trying to do.
Yeah, that's actually just what I was wanting to talk about, is that I think that Kira Glass, Great Glass Spinner, is an honorary Merfolk. she is not technically a Merfolk, but she should be mainboarded. At the very least, you should have 2 to 3. Me personally, I actually run four of her. When you are able, and I've been playing a very interesting strategy that's getting me a lot of great results, which is that I'm going to slow down dropping my lords because of removal, and turn two, I mainboard Spellskites as well.
Right.
And well, they're two. Yeah, but they're two. So your Aether Vial works with them, your Mana Curve works with them, and so I'm going to hold off that Lord of Atlantis, and instead I'm going to drop a Spellskite, and what you got to realize is that if turn three, you drop a Kira, at that point,
you've locked them out of the game. Because if they
target your Lord of Atlantis, you can change the target to the Spellskite, and it gets countered, and the number of lightning bolts that they need to hit that Lord of Atlantis, they don't have four.
Yeah, it's not in the deck.
Yeah,
plus
it's
you
not
get
in
like
the deck.
Random advantage by like you can counter their Colligan's Command. There's like other kind like random things you might be able to pull off.
It's beautiful. Kira needs to be mainboarded. People are surprised that I mainboard Spellskites in my deck, but I absolutely do.
Ben is podcast Masters of Modern, we're often quoted saying Spellskite is the best card in the format.
I was playing up against at GP Vegas. I got a game up against a Skred Red Rogue deck, and I got out two Spellskites and a Kira first. And then it was just like with two Spellskites changing the target between themselves, it's impossible to target anything of mine. And it was like, well, that's all Skred Red is looking to do, in all honesty. And it's just like, no, you're going to hit the Spellskite. Oh, it's countered. Oh, you're going to try and hit him again. I'll change it to the other Spellskite. It's countered, dude. You know, it was great fun. Great fun.
Right. I guess the last... Okay, so running out of time slightly, I do want to go through the gauntlet and talk about some of the matchups you have to face and the best ways Murfolk kind of handles those and vice versa. So first, Affinity.
You're dead. If it's Affinity, you reach your hand across, you say, hey, great game, you two owed me, and if you'd like, I'd be very happy to get some casual games with you if you have another Modern deck on you. Your best bet is I've got four, because Affinity's actually really heavy at my local game store. I've got four Hercules in the sideboard.
Right.
But it doesn't... You're dead. Affinity is, I think, the worst matchup out of everything. So, in my opinion, Affinity is... I would rather face anything other than eggs than Affinity. Affinity is you're dead to Affinity. You can't handle it.
So I guess then my statement here would be this is probably the best time to play Merfolk for that reason, because Affinity did so well at the last GP.
Yeah.
Everyone and their mom is going to be packing as much Affinity hate as possible right now in the format and probably until the next major tournament. So like now's the time to run Merfolk because your Affinity matchups, as long as you win your first matchup, is going to be way less likely to have to run into that deck than it used to be.
True.
All right. Black-green mid-range deck. So Jundin, Abzan.
It puts up a fight. I handled a few. Like I said, you use your phantasmal images strategically, be it against the Tarmogoyf, be it against the Siege Rhino, be it against the Dark Confidant, which I really like to get that gas. You get your Spreading Seas at an opportune time. But it's a real slugfest with those decks. I mean, everybody's in black-green right now. It's definitely considered the top. They drop Liliana, and her sacrifice, making you sacrifice, destroys you. You have to get rid of that Liliana fast.
Keep them off the double black, possibly, with Spreading Seas.
You absolutely. I have in my sideboard Echoing Truth, which is nice because it'll return Planeswalkers, which then if you can get a counter spell like Deprive or whatever to hard counter them, you know. But if Liliana resolves, oh god, you know, you're gonna have some trouble with that. But I can win against that more than Affinity. And you can too, but it's definitely not in your favor.
Right. Next, Splinter Twin.
Yeah, yeah. Splinter Twin's great because they have islands. What's that?
They have islands.
They have islands, which allows you game two to sideboard out your Spreading Seas completely. Although it can definitely be problematic. I've had some Splinter Twin games where hitting their red sources really messes them up.
Right.
You've got counter spells, which, you know, you can wait. What's really nice about Merfolk is since once you have the components in place, you kind of just dump your hand on the board in a lot of ways. You can play a slow Merfolk game where you're like, you know what? I'm going to sit back with my counter spells and just let my hand get a, you know, get a full grip there, let my Aether Vials go up. Maybe you got a second Aether Vial, get your lands into play. You got your Mutavaults, which protect themselves. And I actually have had a lot of luck against Splinter Twin. I beat them several times recently, in fact. I think that Splinter Twin is actually one that I would rather face than Black-Green.
Right. And then yeah. Tron, Red-Green Tron.
Yeah, Tron, Spreading Seas, those Urza lands, what are they going to do?
They get wrecked.
Nothing. You get those Spreading Seas. I, for a while, was running, and this is not something I recommend unless you just have a Tron-heavy meta, but maybe you do. I had the blast with this, which is Seas Claim, and I sideboarded in four Seas Claim, and when I was up against Tron or something that I'd have major disruption, Seas Claim is one blue mana, and it's Spreading Seas without the card draw. But when you're just turning all of their lands into islands, so you've got essentially eight Spreading Seas, but four of them don't get you the card draw, but they're also one mana cheaper.
Right.
It's hilarious, and nobody ever sees it coming. If they've got answers like counter spells or whatever, like they're going to abrupt decay the Spreading Seas, you've got so much gas of that. But just in general, with a normal Merfolk deck as opposed to my goofiness, Tron, red-green Tron at least, you're going to have a good time. They're going to be very sad that you're playing Merfolk.
All right, well now then, the evil twin of Tron, Amulet Bloom.
Yeah, you're dead. I lose to Amulet Bloom. I mean, you have to be, again, it comes down to the Spreading Seas. It really does.
Right.
And maybe a few strategic counters. It's tough. You have to know Amulet Bloom really well in order to beat it with Merfolk. And you have to play as though you can see their hand and you're going to work one step ahead of them. It's a rough matchup. It can be done. But it is definitely an uphill battle.
See, I've always imagined this matchup might be okay because A, you have the Spreading Seas, but B, like, since you're main decking Spellskites, you're able to kind of stop their Primeval Titan from doing the, like, one-hit kill swing because you can steal the land triggers. And this allows you to kind of tempo them because you have so many of, like, you put pressure on them. Like, my general experience with Amulet decks, and, like, similar to Splinter Twin, is the ability to put pressure on an opponent when they're playing this kind of combo deck is integral to you being able to beat them.
Oh, I agree completely, which is why I main deck the Spellskites, but a lot of Merfolk players have them in their sideboard.
That's true.
Or they're only running a main deck of, like, maybe two. And I feel that you're really going to need to ensure that you hit a Spellskite. And if you don't, if you've got two Spellskite in your main board and you sit down against Amulet Bloom and the other two or one are in your sideboard, there's a very good chance you're not going to hit them in time. You really need to get those out.
Fair enough.
It depends on your build. It depends on your meta. It's doable. I mean, it's not Affinity. There's no hope for you if you sit down across from Affinity. Anybody, I invite any listeners who play Merfolk or who play Affinity and have been beaten by Merfolk to just literally acknowledge that it's happened. I literally just want to see someone say, I play Merfolk and I beat an Affinity deck that didn't get mana screwed or something like that, and or vice versa, I play Affinity and Merfolk has trounced me and it was a fair land draw on both sides. I'd like to see, like, out of the tens of thousands of your viewers, one person's going to say that.
Well, you guys are on Twitter.
I invite
the MMCast.
I invite,
yell at us.
Yep, let's hear it.
Speaking of Twitter, we have an email. It's themmmcast@rocketjump.com. So please send us emails if you have bigger questions than Twitter lets you handle. Sometimes 140 characters isn't enough. The email is, I've been playing Modern for about 6 months with Boros Burn decklist, and I'm now working on the last touches of Grixis Delver. Any tips, recommendations, pro ideas on how to go from aggro to control? This is from Ben Cook. My recommendation, Ben, is to kind of look at what you're doing and remember, you know, you need to still oppose a threat. Control does not mean I get to sit back on my laurels and kind of wait till something happens. You need to be always pressuring them with a clock and taking a lot of time to kind of learn what you're facing and test so that you know what to do with your control deck. Hopefully that was helpful. Once again, if you want to send us some stuff, we are at the MMCast. And to kind of wrap up, I am at Kes Wiley. You can follow me on Twitter as well. Where can they find you, Professor?
They can find me at Tolarian Community College and in YouTube, which is the main place to interact with me. I am also on Twitter at Tolarian College, or I'm on Facebook at Tolarian Community College. But really, the best place to find me is just going to YouTube for Tolarian Community College. Got a large library of everything from product reviews to modern deck techs and a lot of other interesting lessons that hopefully will be of use to viewers.
Yeah, and we'll link out to all of that on rocketjump.com, where our podcast is hosted, as always. And we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.